Well, we are on number 8 of the Ten Commandments, and we have a few more to go. I hope that it's good for us to read the whole Ten Commandments every Sunday. As I've mentioned, it's just something that we don't see a lot anymore. So I thought it would be good, even though it's a little laborious, to read the Ten Commandments each Sunday together. So thank you to our scripture readers who always read so many verses. Today we're on number 8, a little bit, at least maybe in our humanness, a little bit less harsh than the previous two. Excuse me. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and then today is you shall not steal. I got a chart up on the screen. It's quite interesting. I did a little research this week just to see how much stuff is stolen. I stayed in a hotel recently and came across this research from this group, I think, in Germany. And these are the items most frequently stolen from a hotel room. So you might be thinking right now, like, it's okay if I take that toothbrush or that comb, right? Okay, those things they give to you for free, so don't feel bad about that. But towels is a different story, right? But yet, 77% of all of the things stolen from a hotel are the towels. Some people take those. Those are not, by the way, free, just in case you're thinking that. Bathrobes, you can see that these would be popular items. Hangers, pens, cutlery, all the way down to, I read some stories this week of people that stole TV sets from the hotel room. And even, I think it was in Austria, someone stole a grand piano out of the lobby. So, stealing is something that takes place maybe a lot more than we think it does. Stealing is everywhere. I'll show you a poster on the screen. I thought this was funny. From the Saturday Evening Post, a really old newspaper or magazine, notice the seller here is pushing down to kind of create a little more money for himself. And she's also pushing up. So in everyday life, trying to steal a little here or there is quite common. It's prevalent. Stealing is so prevalent throughout societies across the world that we've even developed different types of names for different types of theft. There's theft, there's robbery, there's burglary, there's aggravated burglary, fraud, blackmail, handling stolen goods, kidnapping, hijacking, shoplifting, piracy, rent abuse, tax evasion, intellectual property theft, cyber crimes, and even phone scams. Quite common in Hong Kong, right? You read stories, it seems, every month in Hong Kong where somebody was called them on the phone and said, you owe us this much money. And so they transfer millions of dollars to their bank account. I can't think of any reason why people do that, but they do. So these are all crimes I just mentioned. But, of course, we know in our hearts, and we'll try to look at a few of those, there are many other ways that we steal. What does God say about stealing? Well, He says it is a sin. You shall not steal. Why? What are some ways that we might be guilty of theft? And also, what should we do instead of stealing? What's the remedy for stealing? Let's pray together. Lord, pray for your help. Lord, I realize in my own heart there may be ways that I am guilty of theft. Pray that you will, by the working of the Holy Spirit, put your finger on areas of our lives where we might be disobeying you and not honoring to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes when I preach, I will give you the main idea in the very beginning. Sometimes that's helpful, sometimes it's not. I want to give you the main idea today as we begin. The main idea, at least this is my summary, the Bible forbids stealing of any kind, but instead commands us to trust God, work hard, and give generously. The Bible forbids stealing of any kind, but instead commands us to trust God, work hard, and give generously. So my outline today is this. We want to look at, number one, stealing in the Bible, and then look at ways that we might steal from others, and then ways that we might steal from God. And then we want to try to look at some remedies for stealing, or else that would be no use of us just to say, hey, we're all bad people, let's go home. Number one, let's look at stealing in the Bible. Exodus 20:15, quite simple, you shall not steal. The Hebrew word is ganab, which means to take by stealth, or to deceive, or to steal. To steal is very close to, obviously, there's deception involved there. We've already mentioned that the Ten Commandments are closely related. Some of them are closely related, right? So if you're going to commit adultery, that involves the Tenth Commandment, which is thou shalt not covet. And if you're going to steal, that involves some form of lying. We'll talk about next week. If you remember, the first four commandments have to do primarily with our relationship with God, primarily, not completely, but our relationship with God, and then the last six have to do with our relationship with other people. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. So obviously, if we're stealing from someone, we're not loving them. You might be surprised to know that the Bible is full of thieves. Stealing is all over the Bible. From the beginning of time, people have stolen. Jacob stole Esau's blessing. You remember that? With his mother's help. His mom said, "You dress up like your brother. He's a real hairy guy, you know. We'll put all this stuff on your brother." And his mom is right there with him saying, "Come on, let's steal. Let's take your brother's blessing." Not the birthright, remember. He kind of got tricked out of that too. But the blessing, Esau, Jacob stole that from his brother. Laban stole from Jacob. By the way, Jacob means deceiver. Laban stole from Jacob, and Jacob stole from Laban. And then Rachel stole from Laban, his household gods. Remember that? Achan, in the Bible, God said, don't take any of the stuff from the battlefield. What did Achan do? He stole some of it. One of the 12 disciples was a thief. Judas used to help himself, the Bible says, to some of the money in the money bag. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Ananias and Sapphira, they deceived the church and the Holy Spirit and stole by saying, we gave all of it, but they didn't. Onesimus in the book of Philemon stole from Philemon. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, right? But I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Satan is a thief. Even Jesus says that he's like a thief. He will come like a thief in the night, meaning by stealth. You won't know when he's coming. Stealing is one of the fruits of our sin nature. And we might all say today that we're all guilty of theft at some point in our lives. I don't think any of us could say in our lives, I have never stolen anything. I used to be a pretty good thief when I was a kid. I was studying about this week. I was just convicted over how many times I would just go to my mom's pocketbook and just take a 20 or so out of there. She seemed to not really care, but I was definitely doing it by stealth. My parents owned a store, a general store, kind of with all kinds of things, and I used to steal Reese's cups and Coke and all kinds of things, even order myself a pair of shoes. Martin Luther had a good quote. He said this, "If we look at mankind in all of its conditions, it is nothing but a vast, wide stable full of great thieves. It is the smallest part of the thieves that are hung. If we were to hang them all, where shall we get enough rope? We must make all of our belts and straps into halters." So we're all thieves. Well, how can we frame stealing in our lives today in such a way that we might ask ourselves, am I guilty of stealing at this point in my life? And so we want to ask, from whom do we steal and why do we do it? So first, I want to take a look at how we might steal from others. Steal from others. As I said earlier, we're surely not loving our neighbor to steal from them. Most of us are not guilty of grand theft auto or embezzlement of money or stealing from church funds. One of the churches near my hometown, one of their elders stole $500,000 over the years doing the books. But are there any ways that maybe we're maybe not guilty of great theft or crime, but are there maybe some ways we have become numb to some kind of stealing or theft? Because the kind of the way sin works, a lot of times we become, when something becomes very prevalent in society, we tend to say it's okay because everybody does it. Downloading things that are fakes, not such a big deal maybe as much today, but I remember in the last 20 years, especially BitTorrents and downloading fake movies or burning fake DVDs or going to Shenzhen as I used to do, and then got convicted of it, buying loads and loads of DVDs. Well, they're so cheap and free, basically, you know. These days, it's more like using someone else's Netflix account details. You know, Netflix, basically, as they're changing everything now, because they have such a big problem with people sharing account logins and passwords. They estimate that Netflix has lost $6 billion a year in people sharing Netflix accounts. It's a form of stealing. Some businesses charge people too much for something on purpose, knowing that it's not right. Plagiarism. A lot of you guys in here have been to HKUST doing research, writing papers. I'm a pastor. Plagiarism is a form of stealing. If I downloaded this sermon today from the internet and then pretended to you like this was my sermon and preached it without giving any kind of evidence that this is, or said that Martin Luther quote was my own, that would be stealing. Deception. I'd be trying to deceive you, make you think I'm wonderful. And I'm definitely not. Maybe it's ways that we borrow things from people but never give it back. Oftentimes we don't really want to deceive anyone by keeping something that we've borrowed, but it kind of goes like this, at least, is it's too awkward to tell them, I borrowed this a long time ago, and so it's kind of weird to give it back now, but we know we have something that belongs to someone else. It might even be that we just say, hey, I know this is a little awkward, but I've had this book of yours for 10 years, and I'm going to give it back to you now. Some of the ways we steal might be from our employers. Now, your company every company is a little bit different, but lots of things like paper, paper clips, printing, other supplies from the storeroom, using Zoom accounts for personal use, robbing the snacks at the work office, using access cards in an improper way, or even cheating on expense accounts for reimbursements. These are some of the ways we could steal from other people. Say, could be. I worked at the Holiday Inn in San Francisco. So I'll give you an example of not stealing. I worked at the Holiday Inn in San Francisco, and the general manager was a kind man, and he would oftentimes tell us, just take cash out of the drawer and get yourself something to eat at the 5-star Frantoio Restaurante next door for a good meal. He'd say, just take money out of the cash drawer and get yourself a nice meal, because you guys are working double shifts. He had the authority to give us the right to use money in the hotel to buy us dinner, because we couldn't leave the front desk. So there may be different scenarios. I'm not going to paint every picture exactly. You can use your own mind, and Holy Spirit can convict you. The average worker, I read this in a thing called Business News Daily. You don't know how accurate this might be, but Business News Daily reported that the average worker checks their email 36 times an hour, takes 16 minutes to refocus after handling a new email. There was a study by Udemy, this group, who I looked up. You can find a lot of this stuff. More than 70% of workers reported feeling distracted on the job. 16% saying they almost always feel unfocused. Maybe that's you. Most of that amounts to a lot of loss in companies. Think about how much money companies lose just by employees not working maybe as hard as they should. Notice that overall, Facebook was the number one distractor from this Udemy study. People looking at Facebook during work hours. So there are all kinds of ways that we might kind of have a little whitewash theft in our lives. What about stealing from the government? Do we report all of our income when we do our taxes? I kind of wonder why so many businesses Chasantangs that I go to, they're cash only. I wonder sometimes if that's because they don't want to report all of that they have, because they cash is, you can just say, well, we made this much. They also want to save money by not having fees. What about our personal taxes? Do we tell everything? Or do we fudge just a little bit? That's a form of stealing. The Bible is actually very clear. We should pay our taxes. So we do steal from others. We also steal from God. Point number 3. Is it really possible to steal from God? Malachi, verse that came to my mind immediately. Malachi 3:6-10, because it clearly says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we don't see really the concept of tithing, giving a tenth. The New Testament says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And actually, the New Testament would point us toward giving even more, making sure that in our hearts we do not rob God by keeping back our money for ourselves and say, it's mine to do what I want. So money is a way that we can rob God. We can also steal from God when we don't use our gifts. God has given us spiritual gifts. We bury those gifts in the sand, per se. It's a type of taking from God, not using it. Maybe not serving the Lord with all of our hearts. He's given us the resources of time, gifts, possessions, money. So it's possible for us to rob God. Well, quickly, let's look at some stealing remedies. I asked myself this week, well, what's the remedy for stealing? In the Old Testament, does anybody know what the remedy for stealing was? It wasn't necessarily cutting off your hand or murder, like, I mean, capital punishment for stealing. The penalty for stealing was often restitution, meaning pay it back. Even sometimes pay it back more. Exodus 22 talks about that. Like if someone steals your cow, then you should make sure you give the cow back. You should give them the cow. If someone steals your animal, sometimes the price was double. You should repay double. And even sometimes, like in Proverbs 6, I believe, mentions seven times, paying back seven times. Certainly reasonable. I think all of us would say the reasonable thing to do if we've stolen something is to pay it back. Well, at the root and at our heart, stealing is about so much more, though, than just paying someone back. I took this from you, and so I'm going to now give it back to you. It really says, stealing says something about what we believe about God. Did you know that? Stealing says something about what we believe about God. And I'll show you why. What are we to do besides stealing? First, the Bible points us to faith as a remedy for stealing. We are to trust God and not steal. Do you know that? As Christians, if there's something that we need, we are not to steal. We are instead to trust. What does the Scripture say? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So God's either a liar, or he's telling the truth and can be trusted. Stealing isn't trusting God to provide for you. Stealing is taking it upon ourselves to ensure that we have what we want. I want that. God is not giving it to me, and I don't like that, so I'm going to take it. Maybe what God wants us to do is to do without. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount also, besides Philippians 4:19, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, is very clear. One of the passages James likes to quote many times. We're worth more than many sparrows, right? Even the hairs of our head are numbered. And so we can not be anxious, but we can trust God to provide for us. So the first remedy for stealing is trust. We are to trust God to provide what we need. Well, secondly, the Bible points us to working as a remedy to stealing. Working. Did you know that? I discovered this week the opposite of stealing is work. I'll show you why. Ephesians 4:28. This is a key verse for helping us understand theft. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let them labor. That's opposites, right? Conjunction. Here's an independent clause. Here's a conjunction, another independent clause, right? Joining these two together, contrast. Thief no longer steal, but contrast, let him work. Right? Used to teach English. Hope I can still do that. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. And then there's a great clause here, so that, pointing to what? He may have something to share with anyone in need. That's where I got my main point. Work is the opposite of theft. So I was thinking of a scenario possibly this week. So think about a scenario. So the way we don't have Netflix. So the way that we do movies for movie night is I just buy them on iTunes, on Apple. So if I go to my Apple TV, I have like a long list of movies. So we have to purchase them. So it's nice for us to watch movies every now and then. Let's say I like to have a really nice movie collection and on my Apple account, and problem is I can't afford another monthly subscription to something else. And But I want more movies, so what do? I have a choice. I can either bypass the costly service and download some for free, or rip them to my hard drive, or whatever we might used to say. Or I can work hard and try to provide that if I need that. Or I can do without. So we should let God provide, work hard to have what we want, or do without. The answer is not to steal. Trust is a remedy, and work is a remedy, and there's a third remedy. Third, the Bible points us to giving as a remedy for stealing. Trust God, work hard, and give. Now, why is giving a remedy for theft? Did you know that giving is a remedy to the desire to keep money? Every time we give money away, it's saying, I hold money loosely. I don't want it to have any control over my life. So when we give, it's a way to make sure that we're not letting money control us. So notice this passage says that the thief is to no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. One of the reasons why we work is to have something to share. And we also work so that we're not stealing. Well, back to our main idea. The Bible forbids stealing of any kind, but instead commands us to trust God, work hard, and give generously. Stealing or not stealing really is about what we think about possessions. I saw a great quote this week from Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges, these are my words here, these are his. Jerry Bridges said that we have three basic attitudes toward possessions. Three basic attitudes toward possessions. He said, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. That's a thief, right? What's mine is mine, I'll keep it. Or what's mine is God, I'll share it. So we don't want to be a thief and take other people's things. We also don't want to be a hoarder and just keep what God has given us for ourselves, to spend on ourselves. What we want to be is a steward. We can't be a steward if we're stealing. The command, you should not steal, isn't just about what we should not do, but it's also about what we should do. We should trust, we should work, we should give. Now, when we're preaching the law, the Ten Commandments, as I close, okay, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, it's really easy for us to be maybe a little bit like the Pharisees and just, or the rich young ruler, and just say, I don't do any of those things. Like, and I wouldn't be really communicating the Bible accurately if I just said, we shouldn't steal, guys, okay? Go out there and be good. Stop stealing. The truth is, the remedy for sin of theft is not to just be better and stop stealing. It's really the ultimate thing that we need is to be forgiven and changed. We need to be forgiven for any sins that we've committed, including theft. And we need to be changed by the Holy Spirit so that we actually don't desire to do those things. So that's where we find the gospel. Jesus died between two thieves. Between two thieves. For all of us thieves, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. You know, there's no power to change in and of yourself. You may be here today and you may think, well, you know, really the power to change myself is in me. It's in my ability to just, I need to be stronger and more disciplined. Unfortunately, you're going to find that very wearisome. The power to be changed is in God changing you. Jesus has the power to change us, to give us real power to trust God, to even give us the power to work hard daily, to give us the power to be generous instead of stealing. So there may be some ways today, I'm not God, I don't presume to in any way to try to say this is what you're doing. I don't know you in your life, but the Lord does. So I would just simply ask you to ask the Lord to show you any ways that you might be in need of repentance when it comes to theft.